Welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover, Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're back with us here. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you to date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We are standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So I'm really excited to introduce my next guest expert, Jenica Mills, who will be talking today on the topic unwinding contraction for deeper intimacy. I hear from many of you that in today's fast-paced, social media-focused world, it's really challenging to feel true intimacy and connection, not only with ourselves, but with others. And I'm confident that you're going to leave this session with some powerful ahas that will transform this experience and up-level your dating life in a profound way. But first, let me tell you more about Jenica. So Jenica's extensive facilitation of body-based therapies, trauma recovery, and sexual wellness gives way to a unique perspective on how we can experience physical, emotional, and mental freedom. Guided by the premise that we already contain the power to heal, be inspired, and experience connectedness, Jenica's approach is designed to tap into the body's innate intelligence to release stress and tension patterns that inhibit us from experiencing our fullness. She holds a master's in social work and is a certified neurogenic yoga trainer, experienced yoga teacher, sexual wellness coach, TRE global provider, and tantra teacher. Jenica travels the globe, leading certification trainings in neurogenic yoga and facilitates workshops in sexual wellness and trauma recovery. She maintains a private practice working with individuals and couples in Southern California. Jenica is known for creating an easeful and safe environment for deep and powerful work while providing innovative tools and methods for transformation. And I'm so glad she's here. So welcome, Jenica.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you as well. And before we dive in, I'm wondering, can you give us just a little bit of your background and how is it that you came to this point in your journey to be teaching and providing all this wisdom for your clients in these areas?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. So I actually grew up really with this idea, knowing kind of deep in my bones that I was meant to help people. At the time, it was like in quotes, you know, like, you're born to help people. Yeah. And that was like all my mom kind of told me too. I mean, that was kind of just the person that I was. And, but you know, as I grew and as I became a young woman and then going to graduate school and starting to learn more and see myself differently, I began to realize that it wasn't about helping people, that it was about actually holding space for what the natural unwinding of our beings is really all about. And so I started out as a therapist. I graduated with my master's and then started as a trauma therapist and realized pretty quickly that, I really saw how the body, I specifically worked with sexual assault and domestic violence. And I really was seeing how in traditional psychotherapy, we were really leaving out this physical organism, the body. And that was curious to me because for most of my clients, the body was is such a huge part of their trauma. And by the way, for them to avoid dealing with the body was actually just fine by them because it was a way to disconnect from the experience in a pretty major way. So I started to get really, really interested in somatics and how the body holds tension and holds these trauma patterns. And I see how it's not just trauma that we hold. It's not just our stress, but it's also, it's every experience that we have. It's every interface, every bit of information that we get, every piece of stimulus that we get, it's landing in this whole organism. And so for me, you know, just the whole spectrum of being a human being, whether it's a traumatic experience, it's stress, or it's love, or it's desire, or joy, this body is, it's able to be in interaction with that if it's open and fluid. And so, yeah, my work has really taken a turn into helping people, as I've mentioned this word, unwind. We're going to probably say that 100 times now from here on out. Help people to really start to live in a more fluid, more pulsation way in their organism versus in a really confined, structured way that tends to happen in our stressful lives in our society.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for some of your background. And, you know, I find it so interesting that there are so many, you know, so much great advice about dating and relationships. And, but it's also funny that a lot of times the body is left out. Sex is left out. You know, it's a lot of great advice and wisdom. But I think this piece that you're talking about, if you don't have that connection to yourself, your own body, you know, really in tune in that deep way, then all the other advice doesn't really matter because you're just not in your authentic beingness. So I love your background and how you got to this point, and I love what you're bringing to our listeners. So why don't you start by telling us about this idea of contraction. So when you say that, what is that all about?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, what I mean by that is, you know, every cell in our body, excuse me, every cell in our body is in constant flux and constant movement. They're expanding and they're contracting all of the time. And when we feel really safe and we feel downregulated, I'll say that, or we feel relaxed, then our cells are able to be in this constant pulsation in a big way. And so, however, when we're not, or when we have prolonged stress, if we don't feel safe or we have prolonged stress, then the actual cells in our bodies don't pulsate in the same way. They actually become more still and more pulled in. And that really translates to the fabric of our bodies. Every tissue in our body, every organ in our body has its own pulsation, and it's all working in conjunction together. So when we are in high levels of stress or heightened states of arousal in our nervous system, or, you know, I think prolonged stress is the biggest one for most of us, but, or if we've experienced trauma, and I'll kind of break that down, that word down just a little bit, that when we perceive that we are in threat, whether that's a physical actual threat or an emotional threat, or somebody looks at me wrong and I perceive that a certain way that feels unsafe, then we start to create more and more contraction. The cells in our body start to have less movement and start to contract more. And we actually start to create patterns in our bodies that close us in and close us down. And if you think about, you know, when you're feeling depressed, or when you're feeling lots of sadness, or when you feel like you have prolonged stress, what starts to happen is that, I don't know if you can really see this action, but what starts to happen is we actually get this literal physical contraction that happens in our bodies that brings us into a position that feels safer. And what starts to happen if we don't allow for those contraction patterns to start to unwind and let go, we start to create more and more closing down. And that actually relates not only to our physical body, but then to our emotional states. So that when our physical body is more shut down, we actually feel more isolated. We feel less social. We feel more lonely. And we feel more anxious.
So I'm imagining, you know, when you're talking about all this, is this something that someone could consciously have an awareness of, like, oh, I'm contracted? Or is this something that many of us are just kind of because we're in such a time where we're just so busy and moving things along, and there's so many distractions in our periphery that we're dealing with. Are many of us contracted and we just don't know it, and we're just like going through life contracted? Like, how does someone know that that's happening?
Absolutely. Both things are true. So our nervous system and our core brain is really what is in charge of this creating a sense of safety within ourselves kind of idea that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, we don't actually know that that's happening. We're not thinking, oh, I'm not feeling safe, so I must come into a bit of a contraction. That's actually happening on a non-thinking level. That's happening on the reflexive brain level. So most of the time, we don't actually know that we're in this kind of contracted state as far as the physicality of our bodies go, because it happens over such a long period of time. Sometimes we are, because we end up having like low back pain, or yeah, we end up having fertility issues or digestive issues. So we start to get these clues and cues, yeah, for like, oh, there's something that's not balanced in the body. And to me, we can start to actually sense like, oh, these things that we call symptoms, like, mm-hmm, I mentioned depression, anxiety, sleeplessness, pain, discomfort, digestive issues, hormone imbalances, like the whole thing, those are our cues. So we can be aware of how we're feeling and what we're experiencing. But I think it does happen oftentimes, you know, these things, these messages that we get that pull us into more of a contraction happen at a pretty young age. They can start, mm-hmm, this stuff can start at a really young age, especially around relating and dating and sex and intimacy. Mm-hmm. Those messages come in really early and they're strong. And so I think it's both. Our bodies do this amazing thing to help us survive and protect us. And also we can get conscious to what it is we're actually experiencing, coming out of our heads and out of our psychology and into what's really happening in the body and its intelligence, really.
And you mentioned before trauma. And I know a lot of times when people think of trauma, they think like, oh, natural disaster or assault, but trauma can be other things, right? How do you define trauma when you're working, yeah, with people around contraction?
Absolutely. So it's important to know that the way that we're wired, the way that our bodies and our nervous system and our brain are wired, is that when we perceive a threat, I mentioned that before, when we perceive a threat, that's when everything kind of turns on into that fight or flight response, or we might call it an upregulation or arousal. Mm-hmm. And that can be what you kind of mentioned, what we might call a hard trauma, like an accident or a divorce or losing a loved one. These are things that happen like right now, and we can say, oh yes, that was a thing. But we also have these long-term things that happen to us, like working in a stressful, you know, work environment.
Yes.
Or, you know, developmentally, like growing up in a household where a parent was an alcoholic or a parent had mental health issues or abusive, like these things are not
neglect,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Or even getting bullied at school.
Mm-hmm.
These things, we are not necessarily a threat to like our body, like our life or death situation, but our bodies and our nervous systems respond the same way as if it were.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the important things that I'd really love to touch on just for a moment is then how we perceive ourselves within our society, because media, by the way, for us as human beings and what we're taking in, we actually don't know the difference between it happening to us and not happening directly to us. So if I'm watching things like in the media that are really high level disturbing for me, like on the news, and I'm watching things happening on the other side of the country, my nervous system and my body actually do the same thing. Like it actually activates into that arousal as if it were happening to me or as if I was a part of that experience.
Wow.
So we can very vicariously, because we're designed to be that bonded.
Mm-hmm.
Such empathetic, and I don't mean psychologically empathetic, I mean physically nervous systems resonant with one another, that my body doesn't differentiate that something's happening to you. It will respond as if it's happening to me. So when I say trauma, I mean we all are walking around with these patterns.
Yeah. Well, so in listening to what you're saying, I'm imagining that someone might be thinking, well, God, how do I get away from that? And I can't be a hermit and become, you know, or become a monk. And we're like surrounded by this constantly. So how does someone mediate or alleviate the symptoms or the trauma, besides not watching CNN all day or, you know, trying to not watch it as much? But what can you do when we have it around us at all times?
Yeah. So the number one thing, that the easiest thing for us to do, is actually to get back into our bodies. That we actually start to reassociate with what's actually happening inside of us versus living our lives in our heads, which most of us are doing. We're super busy. We're being tasked with so many things constantly. Especially women, you know, we are just like men and women, but we are like keeping a lot together.
Oh yeah.
Multifaceted, and like there are things happening. You're constantly, and maybe you have children and you have work and you have life and family, and you know, you're taking care of a lot of things. So we don't spend as much time really in our bodies as what's necessary in order for us to start to actually downregulate. And start to peel away some of this contraction that happens over time. So all is not lost, because this body and this nervous system, just like we have this mechanism to bring us into contraction, we also have really intelligent mechanisms to bring us back into openness and homeostasis and downregulation and social engagement. And so the first piece of that is getting in touch, sensing it, re-experiencing or noticing sensation. That's number one. Number two is down regulation. And what I mean by that is using really simple tools to begin to re-regulate the nervous system. Even just by allowing ourselves to take deeper breaths, to actually stop for a few minutes each day. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's not a yes, go meditate thing. It's a have a conversation with your nervous system.
Yeah.
That's really different. And then the bulk of my work prior to really getting into Tantra in the last 5 years was really in trauma and tension release methods that are designed to reawaken the body's natural pulsation. And we do this, human beings and other mammals do this by shaking, by involuntary shaking, not just like, I'm going to stand up and shake. There's that. And that's great. But also eliciting the body's natural shaking that happens when we're actually in a heightened state of arousal. However, we turn it off because we get messages that it ain't cool to be in process.
Well, this is fascinating.
A vulnerable experience, right?
I would love you to say more about this, because I actually recently watched a video of a polar bear, and they were chasing him with a helicopter, tranquilizing him. They were actually not wanting to hurt him. They're studying the polar bears, but they needed to tranquilize him. So he was in his fight or flight mode, and they did tranquilize him. And then they were showing what happens once he comes out of it, and he has the involuntary shaking because of the trauma stuck in the body. So how does that relate to us?
Exactly. That's
amazing. I found that fascinating.
Everybody should go watch it. It's fascinating. I mean, it is a little disturbing with, if you're like an animal rights person, but they do preempt it.
We're not hurting him.
Animal. They're actually studying these animals to try to save them.
Yeah.
That idea is that all mammals are wired for when we get into excitation, when we get into arousal of our nervous system, we're actually designed to have this vibration happening. It happens in our hands, in our bellies, in our knees. And we've all experienced that. If you're sitting here, you've had that experience when you've gotten to get up in front of an audience and you give a speech, or you, you know, even exciting things like getting up to get married and like it's the biggest day and your belly is shaking like crazy. Or, but it also happens when we're in really like heightened states of arousal because of, you know, trauma. And So, you know, you've been in a car accident, maybe you had your body shake all over. Mm-hmm. So this is a really, really, really important mechanism in our bodies that we actually, as human beings, we're the only mammals on Earth that have actually learned how to stop that shaking from happening. And we actually start to create then more armoring,
yeah,
more contraction, more holding in. And that actually creates a lot more problems for us.
Oh.
So this shaking or involuntary movement, we could even say pulsation, doesn't even have to be like as extreme as what I just talked about, is very important to our regulation of our nervous system and to our overall health and wellness, really.
So is this actually just shaking, or what, if a client were to work with you, what would they be doing? Is it guided, or?
It can be guided, but really it's good to know that it's involuntary and it's also innate. So this isn't something that somebody does to you. It's not a manipulation at all. This is actually getting your body so into its natural state, so into really a relaxed and down-regulated state, that shaking actually comes up naturally, because that's what it's supposed to do. So we're really just tapping into a very old, primal part of our being. Primal is the perfect word. Very primal part of our being that's just sitting there waiting. It's been there sitting there waiting since we were, you know, since we popped out into the onto the earth. And it did happen for us for as long as we were not getting the message that it wasn't okay, you know? And so the way that I guide this with people, there are two ways. Well, there's lots of ways, but there's a method called trauma releasing exercises. Mm-hmm. And it's developed by a man named Dr. David Berselli, and he's a traumatologist. He uses six really simple exercises that actually fatigue large muscles. And that kind of gives you that like, oh yeah, I worked out hard shaking.
Okay.
And then that turns into this more involuntary movement. But I've actually developed a kind of sister method to that called neurogenic yoga, where we've discovered that it's not necessary to fatigue muscles. It's not really necessary to reactivate the body. If we actually just start to very gently and subtly start to downregulate through breath, through body movement that's a bit more organic and intuitive, through creating safe space, that this organism wants to do this involuntary shaking. It is very unlikely for me to see somebody, to work with somebody who doesn't have it come up pretty readily. And so there are lots of ways to get into it and to do this, because it's our natural way. But these are just ways to guide us into it if we've been shut down from it for a long time.
So I have a question, because as you're talking about the shaking and the body and involuntary aspects of it, how is this related to orgasm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and that was like the other side of the coin for me about 5 years ago. I was like, now wait a second. This shaking thing, this vibration is not only happening when we are in a trauma state, because it's this pulsation is our natural way of being. This is happening as an expression of being an ecstatic being. Mm-hmm. And so that can also mean that when we're in the heightened state of arousal, say if we are really turned on, or we are in the throes of a sexual experience, or during orgasm or after orgasm, that the body is actually doing that same involuntary vibration in order to start to bring us back down into a more relaxed state. And by the way, in this parasympathetic state that oftentimes we can get into after a sexual experience or after orgasm, is a natural arm of our nervous system that helps us to be in social engagements.
Mm.
It's that intelligent. So it does, it relaxes our whole body. It relaxes our whole nervous system. It softens our facial expression. It softens our eyes. It softens our throat, our heart. We can actually be more engaged in that way. So yeah, mm-hmm. the shaking is happening no matter how our nervous system actually gets aroused into that state of arousal, that shaking is natural to come up. And I hear this all the time. Women are like, I do this all the time whenever I yeah. have an orgasm, and I right. try to shut it down because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It is such a healthy way for our bodies to actually re-regulate mm. after that heightened state of arousal. So let it wow. happen. Like yeah. let your body shake. Like let's do it.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Exactly.
Well, so in terms of the connection and intimacy and feeling secure in the dating process and finding a partner, creating partnership, mm-hmm. how does contraction in the body affect all of this?
This is what I'm really excited about, actually. I see this all the time within myself, within my clients, the groups that I work with, that when we are walking around with this kind of contraction pattern in our bodies, like I mentioned before, we're also walking around with this, with the psychology of that, the emotional state of that, the isolation of that, or the looking for the next threat, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're going into looking for or opening ourselves up to a mate or opening ourselves up to the dating scene, when we're coming at it from this contract state, because we are so resonant, our nervous systems are so resonant with one another, when I'm in this contracted state, I'm giving that information out, right?
People can pick up on that.
People pick up on it. It's yeah. not just a thinking thing. This is or an energetic thing. This is mm-hmm. we are wired for looking at facial expression, body language, tension, mm-hmm. or relaxation. So when I am really, I like the word, we kind of throw around the word juicy these yeah. days, but really when we're really down-regulated and we're really relaxed and I can actually feel myself, then I can really connect at a much different level with whomever is in my sphere
mm-hmm.
Than if I'm in this contraction pattern.
Mm.
And I see this all of the time. I work with men and women who are actively dating and coaching them to kind of get into this crazy world of dating. That if we are not downregulated and not relaxed, then we are we'll have a very difficult time mirroring our readiness or mirroring our safe, that we are actually safe beings for this other to be received. So yeah, I think it's the most important thing.
Yeah,
in my perspective.
So this could be. A lot of times people will say, God, I don't understand why I keep attracting the same type of person. So it could have a lot to do with that, just the energetic that is being put out and received and is a match for that type of a person then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see that in myself even. I went on this amazing journey about 3 years ago of dating, and I was out of a long-term relationship, and I was just like, what is this whole thing that people are doing now? 8 years later, I hadn't been
yeah.
long, you know? And I really got clear on, if my goal, my job is to really be myself in front of any reflection, any other that I get, mm-hmm. Reflected by the mirror mm-hmm. I get to see. But if I'm really really in myself and really with my body and I'm really down regulated, that person can give me so much more information about who I am and about who they are in such a short period of time.
Oh.
It's absolutely incredible. So I think that this down regulation piece is is like the thing. Yeah. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
And we get to, when we're down regulated, then we are able to make the other feel good about themselves too, which is like, who doesn't want that? Like,
right.
I want to feel good about me. And if I can show up in a way that's that open and connected to myself and to my sexuality, whether I'm going to share myself like that or not,
mm-hmm.
that makes the other person feel really downregulated and comfortable and connected too. So I start seeing that in no matter who comes into my sphere, because I'm creating that for myself. I'm that.
So how can someone do that if they are hearing what you're saying and feeling like, okay, that's who I want to be out in the world as I'm dating and looking for a partner? What do they need to do? How can they shift their experience if that's not what's happening? Or as they've been listening, if they've been feeling like, I think I might have some contraction going on, but I'm not sure. I want to explore that more. So what do they need to do to feel like they're really open and extended and downregulated, as you're saying, so that they feel secure and are able to experience dating in a new way?
Yeah. Yes, that's a great question. The first thing I want to say is that wherever you're at right now and however you're showing up to this moment and into your dating life is exactly amazing and wonderful and a culmination of all the things you've experienced. So I want us to understand that that stepping away from shaming ourselves or feeling guilty for like, oh, I've got these contraction patterns and this is just more work to do. That thing I think is really problematic. And so I just want you to take a breath right now that like your nervous system and body have gotten you to this moment. It has wanted nothing but your survival and like you're here. So success already. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that first. With all the things we have to do, beating ourselves up over having contraction in our bodies is like not the thing.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, so just say that first. And then the next piece of this is something I mentioned already, which is just really getting sensitive to what you're already noticing. Like get curious. I love being curious. We're usually curious about the other. I want to turn that back into, oh, how can I get curious about this being? And you will discover amazing things. But getting curious about what you're already sensing, where you have contraction, where you have sensation, where you have openness, where you have sensitivity, that's already happening. That's already happening somewhere. So just getting sensitive and noticing already what sensation is happening. And then the second piece of this is downregulation. And there are lots of really easy ways that we do this. One is the simplest. It's going to sound so cliche, but I'm going to hit you with it. Is really taking really generous, extended breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. And this is the language of the nervous system that I'm speaking. It's not the meditation piece. That's not what I'm suggesting.
Just the breath.
Just the breath. It's actually creating the pulsation in the body that is necessary for us to start to feel safer and bigger and more open.
And not something that we normally consciously take a moment to do. So
I highly recommend doing that. And you know, this piece, I think one of the simplest ways that we forget about is preparing ourselves. Really preparing ourselves to go into any experience, whether it's dating or out in the world, going on a date, whatever it is, or connecting online or whatever. We usually do these things in between the rest of our busy life.
Yeah,
like all I have is on Monday from 3:30 to 4:30 to meet you for coffee, and like that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is my nervous system already doing in that kind of window?
Yeah.
I'm already on high alert.
Already stressed out.
Thing to the thing. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So there is, you know, we've lost the art of actually really taking care of ourselves, especially as women. We thrive and we actually downregulate with taking time with, you know, bathing rituals, with really taking the time to connect with myself in the mirror, with lounging around for a few minutes before a date. I know that that's not always doable, but it's this idea. It's this idea of committing to me first and how I'm wired. Mm. And that's a little, that's different for all of us, but we are really, all human beings are wired for deeper and better connection with one another if we're downregulated. So it's finding these things for yourself.
Well, that sounds like what you just said sounds like a really important, it's like a mind shift or a mindset shift. Because I could already hear people saying like, well, I don't have time for that. I only have that half hour to go to Starbucks and I don't have time to for this spaciousness. But it seems like it's like a really important shift that it feels like a worth thing to me when you're speaking it. Like, no, you know what? I matter enough that I want to give myself that spaciousness that I need. And it doesn't have to be a whole long ritual, but just to shift in the mind, like, no, wait, I want to show up fully in my body for this date. I want to give myself what I need in order to be able to do that and not like check it off my to-do list. Like, okay, date done. And I wasn't even present.
Exactly. And, you know, it can be three breaths. Yes, if you have like all this time to really do the thing, that's great. Like I spent like an hour before we got together here, really turning off everything else, putting on music that I love, breathing, setting up my space, creating what I want to feel really like I can connect with you. That's lovely if we've got like all that time, but really three breaths. And that's how we're designed. We're designed to be able to be together.
Yeah.
If we are able to take even just three breaths. It's very physiological. It's not a thinking thing.
Yeah.
So I would challenge you to say, if you don't have time for three breaths in your car before you go into
That's what I was picturing, just sitting in the car. Yeah.
It's not time to be dating right now. I don't know. But
That's very doable.
It's very doable. And it is. I love what you said. And it's about showing up for myself. Mm. And we can say that all day long. And I know it sounds weird and clear, you know, it's like, oh yeah, she's doing that thing again. The showing up for myself thing again, but it's not the, the thinking part. It's the showing up for my body and my organism and setting myself up for, even if I know within the 30 seconds that this person maybe isn't the person I'm going to marry.
Yeah.
That I'm engaged and I'm paying attention. And that I'm curious, and you will learn. I am telling you, I had date upon date upon date where I learned within 2 hours about somebody that something I probably wouldn't have learned for 10 dates if I hadn't really taken this opportunity to like be with myself before I showed up. It's pretty much magical, but it's how we're wired.
I think that's so powerful. It's like you're extending this energetic invitation, it just in your beingness when you show up like that, and then the other person on the other end has the option to be like, oh, I want to respond to this. Now I'm going to show up in that way too. That's pretty powerful.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many people have said, I maybe have told like one or two other people that thing I just told you. I don't know why I just told you that.
Okay, so that could be,
you know, it could be really like awesome and powerful, and also now I have that information,
right?
but to me that's the excitement about showing up to meet somebody new. It's not are you my mate, it's what do you show me, what do I learn, how do I this is the other piece of it. What does it feel like inside of me to receive you? Mm. If we can get there with whoever we come in contact with, this is a different world.
Mm. Absolutely.
Not what can I get, but how can we pull the best out of each other? Mm. As one of my favorite teachers says, if I show up, I can pull the best out of you.
Oh, well, this is very inspiring, and I want to be respectful of your time, and I know you have a lot more to share, and you have a free gift for everyone, but before we go there, I want to make sure, do you have anything else that you want to add to our conversation here, or any last thoughts about this?
Yeah, I think that it's worthwhile for us to, as we re-regulate and down-regulate our own nervous systems and we show up differently, that we really honor whoever is showing up to receive that and meet that, even if they're not the one. Mm-hmm. Right? But I hear a lot when I go on dates that men oftentimes say to me, like, you haven't taken your cell phone out one time since we've been together.
Oh my goodness. Really? Wow.
That's unusual. Unusual for the most part. I hear, I understand. It's like this disconnects us. You know, if I'm showing up to connect, I really want to show up to connect. So I want to really put out there that the honoring, how difficult it might be for us to show up for that hour-long thing because we've got so much going on, that there's another involved, and it's the same, you know. And I think we oftentimes go into it like, oh, check it off the list, I'm gonna stay for 20 minutes or 30 minutes, yeah, or whatever, and I'm bored and like, get out of here. So I think it's really like taking a step back and recognizing how we actually are interested in relating to people versus, yeah, not just I'm trying to bide my time until I can leave.
Oh.
Right. Like honoring, it's honoring this connection that we're creating.
When you're saying that, I'm just imagining, you know, being in that situation. And I think that right away, it's so easy to just disconnect, to make that snap judgment, like, oh no, this isn't the one. So let me see what's going on with my phone, or to just sort of shut down. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about, there's so much humanity in that, because who knows really if that snap judgment, that impulsive thing that comes up for us, is really accurate anyway. Right. And to be able to stay present, even if it's just to say, you know what, I want to be respectful. I want to respect the humanness of this other person and really be present for the person. But what would happen if you surprised yourself and actually this is like, wait a minute, I actually really enjoyed this person? At the beginning, I sort of thought, no, I don't think so. But because I hear that a lot from women dating, that they feel like, oh no, he just wasn't the one. Like, it has happened so fast. And when I encourage people to, well, you know what, were there things about him that you enjoyed? You know, did you enjoy the conversation? Did you feel some kind of compatibility? Did you? And as they go along, they end up figuring and finding out, like, oh, actually, I really like him. But if they had gone with that first snap judgment, mm-hmm, they wouldn't have been able to find that. So I think what you're saying is really important, to stay, yeah, open.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and that resonates with the other person too. You know, they're less likely to be writing you off quickly as well. When you're really engaged with somebody, it makes it very difficult for them not to be also engaged. Mm-hmm. And I want to also say, going into something, they may not be the person that you want to go on a date with again, and that's great and fine. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you're sitting here for a reason, right? You're sitting, yeah, across from this person for a reason. So, you know, if you're not really in tune to what can I learn about this person, what can I learn about me through, mm-hmm, the experience of this person? So, mm-hmm, even if it's, I'm feeling repulsed.
Yeah.
That's really interesting information.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Like, can I be with the noticing the sensations that come up for me whenever I'm getting that information. Mm. That's exciting. You could look at it that way instead.
Absolutely.
Of like
dating as self-development.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's it. .com.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Jenica, I know you have a lot more that you'd like to share and offer, and would you like to let everybody know about the free gift that you have?
Yeah, I'm actually really, really excited about it. So it's a 4-week online series. We're going to do it on Zoom. It
great.
Starts on April 4th. So it's the day that you're finishing your summit here. Mine's going to start that evening.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so you get to like come off of this one and right into the next one. And it's called In Her Freedom, Awakening the Inner Lover. And it's so much about what we're talking about here. It's really 4 Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 8. And it's going to be packed with information, meditations, embodiment practices. I'm going to be answering questions from the week before. And this is really a lot of what I was talking about, this rewiring of our nervous system for us to show up in a more embodied state, whether it's to my work, to my lover, to my partner, to my dating life, to my career and my business relationships. There are going to be lots of tools about how to dip into the sensation that I'm talking about, how to re-regulate the nervous system, how to down-regulate, how to release. And I'm going to be guiding you through that every step of the way. So lots of great information, but also, I mean, you can tell I'm a body person. We're going to be spending a lot of time in our bodies because that's where we can actually do the work.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. This sounds amazing. So everybody make sure that you check out Janneke's free gift. And you can do that by clicking on a link that's right here, just below the video that you're watching, or if you're listening to the audio right below. Click on that to make sure that you take advantage of that, because this just sounds amazing. And Janneke, I'm so glad to have you with us sharing all of this information to support everybody to really start getting into their bodies and to unwind that contraction and start to experience deeper intimacy with themselves and others as they go through the dating process. So really appreciate everything that you've shared. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This is like my passion. So I'm grateful to be able to pass any of that along. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And all of you who are here with us, listening and watching, I just want to thank you and extend so much appreciation to you. Thank you for being with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. And after you check out Janneke's free gift, make sure that you check out how you can join us for the VIP package. This will have you able to listen back or watch Janneke's information as much as you would like, and also be able to take advantage of the content of all of the amazing speakers that we have with us on the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. So go down below, check that out. You can also check out ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. And we hope to have you back with us for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Thank you so much and see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.